pick up Zechariah 4. 2 Peter and Zechariah 4. We try to bring our thoughts and tie it all together tonight and maybe finish up this series on the stature of a perfect man. I hope you've enjoyed it and hope it's been a help to you, and pray that the Lord would bless. And I know you've prayed, but remember Brother Marlowe's wife is real sick, so remember that. And Brother David, and keep those in mind. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all things. And we just ask you now that you'd come among us and speak to our hearts and our lives, Lord, that we may see you and walk in your grace. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us, that your love may be abiding in our hearts. Bless those that are sick among us, Brother Dick, our Lord, Brother Al, Brother Collie, Brother Marlowe's wife, be with her and all the different ones, Brother Dale and Sister Mary and all the different ones that are sick among us. We just ask you to come among us in a mighty way and speak to our hearts and lives and guide us and keep us, Lord, in your grace, in Jesus' name. Go down to verse 4, save time. Reading, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go over to Zechariah 4. It says, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And the two olive trees by it, one by the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now notice, he's to bring forth the headstone. We'll get to it in a minute. He's not to bring forth the cornerstone. The disciples laid the cornerstone. We're built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, all right? But now, he's to bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. As I've said, I've tried to bring to you over the past couple of months a story or a part to try to get it connected together, and we want to wind up tonight showing that, you know, a dream interpreted, the prophet said, is a vision. All right, if it's interpreted, okay, then my point when we get to it, we'll be talking about Sister Shepherd's dream that was interpreted by the prophet, all right, to show what it would be. And he declares that the dream, or, you know, we call it a vision because it comes to pass, came after that he had preached on the stature of a perfect man. You know, the sister had the dream before then. And then when Brother Branham come forth and preached the stature of a perfect man, then she saw her dream and sent it to him, and he interpreted the dream to her, and it compared exactly. That's what if you don't get nothing else, remember this, that her vision, her dream, compared exactly to the basis of what the prophet had been bringing and what Peter had taught, you know, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and all, and bringing it down to that. And it comes out to be the same place as the adoption. Because in the adoptional series, you would be covering, you know, how that a son is born into the family and then is adopted into the family. And that's what we've been trying to lay out here in doing this and try to find it. And seeing that the word of the Lord came to the prophet in the end time. All right. Now, Sister Shepherd was worried about herself, whether she had the Holy Ghost or not. All right. She was concerned about that. She had a dream. And in that dream, the dream was what was showing, you know, that's what I'm saying, that she had a dream, but interpreted it, made a vision out of it, because she saw her own life by the interpretation the prophet brought, until even Brother Branham said, God accepted her foundation. All right, showing she had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. See, then, has God accepted our foundation? Has he accepted us or whatever? Because if it is, it would be in a biblical term. All right? And that's what I've tried to drive over and over, you know, bored, I guess, to a lot of you to think about trying to express about the new birth. But see, the prophet said the new birth is the foundation. Faith is a foundation of all things, that new birth. All right, if we don't have that new birth, see, she was concerned. But God spoke to her and told her that he had accepted, because the water came down to her feet in the dream that she was bringing. All right, and in doing that, see, then it shows that the word is correct. She got her answer. Now, if you and I don't get our answer, then where are we at? We're our own problems, trying to figure out our problems and making it. But now, what have we been over and over and over? What is the foundation of all Christian thinking? Faith in the Word of God. Because that is the new birth, the faith that brings that. All right? And we covered how that in the new birth, that, see, it's the prophet on the blasphemous names. When he gets into interpreting her dream, he tells something there that you should have read over and over, that he said the baptism of the Holy Ghost had been incorrectly taught. You remember that? He said it was incorrectly taught. Now, she was worried whether she had it or not, because she was concerned about that she had spoken tongues, she had done this, she had done that. But yet, in finishing it up, it wound up to be the answer was in the message the prophet was to bring, because that was what it was. Remember the pouring the water in, and I goofed up the other day and said the cutting the top off of the pyramid, you just, you know, bring it to the right one. That was another one showing the what I was trying to bring of the seals and things. But that's what I've tried to get you to see. The new birth is the birth of the Word. Right? All right? See, then it's required that you and I have this new birth. Then it's required now for someone to come to an end time and finish it all up. It's required that we have these virtues. It's just not a choice or a thought or an idea. It's a point that is required of us to have these. All right? Now, whose responsibility is it about having it? First off, it must be brought unto us. To offer it unto us, all right? The prophet brought it. He brought the message. Remember, he was pouring the water in, you know, and all, and it was boiling out, you know, all of the trash and the things. And he said, no denomination will hold that Holy Ghost. They can't do it. But when they put the honey in for the brotherly kindness, then the rock did hold, you know, or the, you know, and as it did, it began to swell up, I guess, a lot, but it still, it held on. All right. But the water running down ran down to her feet. So she got her answer. Amen. Do we have the answer? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, Brother Dale, I got the Holy Ghost years ago. All right, that's good. That's well and a good point. But just remember, if it won't tie together with the Word, what did we get? All right. See, then that's why I tried to end up the series on talking about Zechariah and the coming of the headstone. Because I've told you what I believe it is. And, you know, if you don't believe it, that's up to you. I believe the those seals is that headstone to the church. I've always believed that because that was what the prophet, his emphasis to me was made. You say, well, it's this or that. Okay, you go with what you want to. I'm sticking with what I see in the Word and believing that in the Word, that if the cornerstone and the headstone is the same stone, and come on, church, we taught that in the Baptist. Now, don't frown up on me about it. We taught the cornerstone and the headstone in the Baptist church because we knew that the cornerstone was there and it was the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, all right? And then he was the headstone. What is the headstone? The revealed Word. The revealed Word of God is the head to the church, all right? Because it's the corner of the church. It's the cornerstone. It's the stone at the stumbling that they stumbled at. What about being, as I always try to illustrate, what about being out in a football field and, you know, 100 yards out through there, and you got one little bit of rock right out in the middle of it, and you stumble over that rock trying to find a stone. Because that's what we've done. That's why the prophet said it's been so incorrectly taught. It's been taught to us that we shouted, we cried, we spoke in tongues, we've done this, we've done that. We believe the message. You know. Right? Those things has been taught to the people until they have no foundation to bring it on. Where could you put that into the headstone? You know, where can it be? But see, if the cornerstone is the revealed Word, then the headstone would be the revealed Word. Amen. Well, what was to be revealed in the last days? Amen. That's why I said we're using Zechariah, because it'll bring forth the cornerstone. The prophet said, this one here didn't bring forth the cornerstone. That cornerstone was laid in those disciples. Amen. He said he brought forth the headstone. Amen. Well, you just think about it. Now, that's what I've tried to illustrate. You think how simple it is. Because that, to me, is what's the most marvelous thing, is to think of how simple God makes it. We have no excuse for any doubts or thoughts or ideas of what we think this ought to be or that ought to be, because it's what he said. That cornerstone was the Lord Jesus Christ walking up on the shores of Galilee trying to bring his Word to the people. He was the cornerstone, right? But he was also the headstone. Amen. All right? And the headstone was what was rejected. Yep. Sure, they rejected the cornerstone because they didn't know what it was. All right, that's easy for us to understand. But remember, the headstone was rejected because there stood the headstone. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God was that headstone. Well, what would we be looking for in the last days? Now, here's my point. That's the reason I say it. What? How many of you have read the seal book? Amen. Amen. No? I ain't said nobody ain't got it because they ain't raising their hand, but you done it. But I'm just asking you a simple question. That's what's simple about it. You say, I believe the headstone is the revealed word. But do we read the word? Do we study the word? Or we'd rather read all kind of other things? Right? We try to illustrate or emphasize that we need to study the word. But has that word become a part of us to where that it's revealed Jesus Christ to us? See, then asking a simple question. How many times have you ever read the sealed book? But yet, I believe it. In other words, I declare it. For me, I don't mind declaring it. I declared it there the other day in the message. I believe, because what I've always believed, the headstone to the church is the revealed word. What else are you going to make it? And if it's the revealed word, then why are we scared to read the word or study the word or listen to the word? But yet we know everything else. But yet how many times have we read the seal book? See, but somebody comes along and tries to preach on it, and it just, people start laying out or start doing everything in the book that is. And yet, claiming to be that that's our head. I thought our head was the word. If we don't get anything tonight, get one thing. I believe the head of all church, the church, the bride of Christ, is the word of God. Now that's the word of God that's revealed, not head, not letters on a page. How many times you've read the book would give you a gold star. But how many times have you really sat down and seriously studied and thought about that prophet brought the headstone? I'm not looking for a headstone. After I seen what that prophet was saying, I'm not looking for a headstone. The headstone is a revealed word. If that's what it is, then why would we look for something else? But yet we like all other things. We like this, that, the other. And I'm not against anything. I've tried my best to be straight with you. To tell you right where I stand. Because I know that I'll have to stand again one day. And I have to answer for the things that I've said. That's why I've tried my best to be sincere with you. To get you to follow the word. That's always been my goal from day one, was to get you to be interested enough to read, to study or listen to tapes. But do you? Do you? Well, we don't have time. Well, okay. What's going to happen when it's required that we stand there? Well, I don't have time. You understand what I'm saying? I believe, church, we have. Now, I ain't talking about your Lula. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the Word of God. Don't get on all that junk. The Word of God is the head of the church. Why would we not want to study that and read it and find out what it says? That is our head. That's like telling your husband that you don't care nothing about him. Because you don't want no fellowship with him. But yet the people of this message are so afraid. They're afraid of getting deceived. You can't get deceived if you already are. And there's no more deception than the basis of the fact that we will not study God's word and know what it is. Do you understand what I'm getting at? We know what the word is. We have the prophet's message. That prophet's message is the head to the church. yet do we honor our head? Do we glory into the fact of our head, that he's the head of all things? But we'd rather have something else. We'd rather hear somebody do this or do that. We'd rather have something build up emotional situations, and you say, I'm against it. You're lying. I've always been an emotional person. I just don't put it out. Why? Because I keep it sealed up. But when I feel on that inside and know what's going on, and knowing that people are turning the Word of God down, they're rejecting the very head that was declared. It's the revealed Word. Why would you not want to study the Word? Well, I just don't have time. Well, but what about it, church? The sister was worried whether or not she had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, that's why it's been so incorrectly taught. Now, I don't think she was talking about, worried about there. I think she believed what the prophet was saying, right? I mean, I think, maybe. But yet, she was concerned because one said it was this. One said it was that. One said it was that. I done this. I shouted. I cried. I spoke in tongues. All kind of things was made out of it instead of the true interpretation of the Word of God. And what about having, that's what gets me, is having God's Word. That is to be our head. And yet we spend our time with other things. I'm talking about me, you, all of us. If it was taught wrong back there, what is it being now? When look at the people of the Message, the way they're going. A vision came forth. You sound, it was a dream. You're not listening to what I'm saying. A vision interpreted is a dream, or a dream interpreted is a vision. She wanted an answer. Do we want an answer? Are we serious enough to go before God and ask for an answer? And be concerned with the fact of whether or not we're born again. He gave the interpretation of her dream. Right? The interpretation of the dream was that this man was pouring water in, and that was the message being poured into the church. Oh, and it was boiling out all the trash and the things. But then the honey would hold, because that would be the age of brotherly kindness. See, because that will hold. See? He proved. God proved. What about it to her that she had the new birth? Are we serious enough to ask that question of God? Lord, show me. That's what she said. She said, in other words, in the day, in the manner of all the things that's going on, Lord, show me. Because I've got to have this. We've got to have the new birth. But there's more to it than just a new birth. That's what I've tried to get you to see. That's where the misconceptions in the days that we're living in, the things, like I said, it's still prevalent overseas. It's saying you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get all these virtues. Well, because they say that's what the prophet taught. But he said you're born again in faith. And these virtues are the things that he requires for us to have. Yes. But how do we get them? That's what I said. I asked the question, how do we get these virtues? The opening of God's Word. The revealing of God's Word will bring the virtues into being. It may take a long time, but what's that got to do with it? We've been 50 years studying the prophet's message. And see, he was pouring in, the messenger was pouring in the message. You remember that? Or did you read blasphemous names? Okay. He was pouring in the message, cleaning up the church. And bringing that to the point that God could accept what we have. You remember when we was in the series, they're bringing it over and over? You say, I accepted Jesus Christ. Brother Brown said, Dad, that's all right. He said, but that ain't it. He said, if he don't accept you. Yeah, but I tell you what, I was there now. You can't tell me because I accepted Jesus Christ. I was right there. Yeah. But did he accept us? Because that capstone to the church is the revealed word, and the prophet in the blasphemous name and stature of perfect man both deals with the headstone coming and sealing the individual into the body of Christ. And that was a sister's dream. Sealed in those things. As we study the Word of God, then He can come and seal in those things within us. But what if we don't study His Word? Whose fault is it? Well, I didn't know we had to do it. You didn't know we had to eat the Word? Well, see, how many of you's even read your Bible? And the Bible being the Word of God. But yet we can read everything else. I'm not throwing off on nobody. I'm talking about all of us. Because if the headstone is the head of the church, then what are we doing? We're rejecting our very head. How do you think he feels? If he feels as I do, he feels brokenhearted. Because we got everything else. But yet we don't study God's Word. Then we expect our children to some way just automatically become Christians, I guess. Maybe that's why they don't want it. Maybe that's why our children don't want the message. You know what happens? I mean, some of you now sitting there thinking, but when I get 16, 18 years old, I'll be out of this. You see, is it us that's making it that they don't want it? Have we made it something that is not correct? Has it been incorrectly or incorrectly taught? Or are we telling our children just because that they come to church, just because that they participate a little bit of that, but they're born again? No, that's not the born again experience. That's what we should be doing. Amen. See, what's wrong, Brother Branham said, here's what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. Now, how many of you know what he said it was? He said, this is what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. Now, do you know what he said? He said, there's two different kinds of faith. He said, this is what's wrong with Branham Tabernacle. There's two different kinds of virtue. Okay? Okay, 13. If they want to try to get it up. If they want to try to bring it up, 13. Here's what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. Now, your prophet's going to tell you what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. I'm going to tell you that's the same thing wrong with Lula, Georgia. All right? What did he say it was? You see, there's two different kinds of faith. Right? There's two different kinds of virtues. There's two different kinds of... There's natural nature-given virtues, you know, goodnesses and parts about us. Right? But see, we're dependent upon the things of it, what he said was wrong. Well, I've got that faith. I believe the prophet. I believe everything. Two different kinds. Look. One thinks it's prohibition. You remember that on virtue and temperance? Temperance saying it's not drinking alcohol. But did you listen? I know I'm going to say this and it's going to go flat, okay? You realize that what I've tried to explain on that is that God don't expect us to be zombies. God don't want a bunch of zombies. You know, no, he don't want zombies. He wants sons and daughters. And you know what? Sons and daughters have mistakes and problems. Right? You remember what we were trying to bring out where he was talking about virtue? And he said, that's not a virgin life. He said, not in this case. So he was explaining the case. The case was what? Strength. Then when he got over to temperance, he said, it's not drinking alcohol. Not in this case. What was it? He said, that uncontrollable temper. We don't think a Christian has a temper. Brother Dale, you sure are? Yeah, I'm just human enough to tell you. God has to look over a lot of problems with you and me. A lot of things that should have never been in the world. You remember how I was trying to explain it about it? He doesn't have to use the word virtue as virginity, because that should never have to be talked about among Christians. It shouldn't have to be about alcohol. That shouldn't be talked about among Christians. But you know what? Christians have problems. We have troubles. We have just as much as anybody else. No, I don't have no problem. I don't have no temper. Like I said, why does your face get all red? Why is you all puffed up? And you know, you get all, you know, soused out and mad and everything else. I've tried to be one thing. Tried to preach from the bottom of my heart. to you to get you to see Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, Christians are the only ones who have sins. Is that true? Sinners condemned on a higher level. He's just a sinner. Well, I thought we were supposed to be saved from that. That's what's happening. You're being born again. It's a process that's taking place within our lives. Of being born again. Add to your faith virtue. How do you add virtue? You study the Word, and God adds the virtue. Come on. But you see, he said, that's what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. There's a nature-given virtue. There's a nature-given temperance. All these things are nature-given. The biggest part of our faith is mental faith. Now, I didn't say that. I'm reading, all right? They can pull that up on the screen because that's number 14. The biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the Word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. Okay. The biggest part of our faith is mental faith. Well, look what he says. By hearing the Word. Now, how long have I emphasized that? How do we get the virtues? Right? How many times have we said, how do we get the virtues? By studying the Word of God. Is that a big secret? We don't know how to get them. Yeah, no wonder we're reading Greer's Almanac instead of something else. But listen, by hearing the Word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. By hearing the Word, brings us to a mental recognition. And he said, that's what's wrong with the tabernacle. A mental recognition. But now watch what he's saying. Oh, brother, if it ever strikes this. Now watch it. There is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the Word. Oh, no matter what everything else says, it only recognizes the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word, Word with God, and the Word was God. All right, keep on reading. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the Word itself is poured into our faith. Now, where's your faith? Top of the headstone. I'm up here. No, get back down where he's at. Read what he's talking about. Now, watch him. And when the Word itself is poured into our faith, our mental faith, becomes a spiritual revelation. Well, what if we don't pour it in? Right? Upon this foundation, now listen, it's not poured in at the head. That's my point. You're looking at the head, thinking it's all poured in from there. He said the foundation. Foundation of your faith. Upon this foundation, I'll build my church. Not upon a mental concept of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation. What is the mental faith? See, faith cometh by hearing. Now, if we don't hear, how can God quicken it? But the prophet said what? He said the Holy Ghost is sitting in your soul, if you're born again, waiting on you to bring him the Word. And he said that when it comes in, immediately he makes it alive. Well, see, there's what we need. But the biggest portion of our faith is mental faith. Now watch it. Brings us to a mental recognition. But if this coming from above, now we're up here. You ain't listening. Come on, back up to where we was. You digging in your foundation. You getting started because it's where you're working at. Now he's come up to the top. Because what was the statement that he make in Christ the mystery? In stature of a perfect man. He said, God coming down through Christ's Holy Spirit. Now we're dealing with sealing in. But if your foundation ain't right, you can't jump up. Get what I'm saying? You think, well, I need the headstone. I just got it. You're going to have to start from the bottom and grow up. Then what happens? That starts sealing in back down. There's your stature of a perfect man. There's the man, Brother Reynolds said, that would go in the rapture. There's the church, he said, that would go in the rapture. What? When it's sealed in. Well, I got sealed in when I got the Holy Ghost. That's sealed in at faith. That's sealed in at faith. That's the new birth. You're sealed in. But when virtue comes and is molded together with it, it seals in that. You're going upward one time. Now when you get to the top, if you're listening, when you get to the top, then that headstone is the same as the cornerstone. And the head is what seals it in. Yes, each individual, each thing is sealed in. Come on. Listen to what I'm saying instead of trying to figure it out. The cornerstone is at the bottom. You take and you each one of those is started to seal it in as you're coming in. That's fine. But there comes a place when you reach the top that it's going to come back down. And seal the whole thing together as a unit. Now you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so incorrectly taught. But yet we're still toying with where Brother Branham says, you're born again, then baptized into the body. Well, I can't figure that out. How can you be born again and then baptized into the body? You're born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? The new birth. You're baptized into the body for gifts. You're baptized into the body, that's your words for your prophet, for gifts. Gifts come with the body. Right? You're sealed in. Because Satan's sealed out. What about it? Pouring into our faith. The word itself is pouring into our faith. Our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation upon this foundation. Now you're still down at the bottom. That's what I'm saying. You say, well, I don't understand the prophet. You're saying this about the bottom, it's the top. Listen. You're being sealed in as the word is being revealed to you. But there'll come a final sealing one day that will fill every fiber of our being, the prophet said, for us to go in the rapture. We got something to look forward to. But yet it's so simple until we stumble all over it trying to find it. Faith. It's the foundation of all things. That headstone is the revealed word of God. That's why I've said it over and over, and I'll keep saying it, because I've always believed it. When I read that seal book the first time, and I do, you, most of you, some of you know my story, but anyhow, I started studying the message, and Brother Moke told me about the seals. I said, I want that book, because, see, we were good Baptists. We knowed about the seals. We'd read the book in Revelations, at least. We knew a lot about it. We wouldn't exactly like my brother-in-law, thought that King Kong was walking across our, you know, being the beast, but we still had our problems. But listen, I wanted that seal book. You're talking about reading. How many of you ever think about reading a church age book in 2 days and work for a living? Come on, I ain't kidding you when I said I've read 6 books and listened to 2 tapes in 1 day. Because I wanted that seal book. Well, Brother Moat finally gave it to me. After I'd read, I remember Christ's Mystery in the Church of Ages. And who was this Melchizedek? It was 2 or 3, you know. I read that seal book. I read a lot of things that was very interesting. But we had talked of some of those things in the Baptist. This was, to me, at the time of reading it, was another man with another idea of saying what these things look like. And I wasn't making fun of my brother-in-law, because that's what people think. See, some big King Kong is that beast raised up out of the ocean, you know, and it does all of these things, you know. I wasn't making no light of him. Because we had our own concepts and thoughts about what the seals and things were. But I really enjoyed reading it. But there was nothing to anchor within my soul, because I didn't understand. I laid the seal book aside. I wouldn't read it. I went back to the church age book. I could understand it. You know, Brother Larry used to talk on the church age book a lot years ago, because he loves that church age book. Well, I've always said, you give me one book and a message, I can't get no more than that one book. I'll take church age book. Huh? Some of the others are shaking their head. You say, no, I want this, that, the other. You don't understand the seals, you get through the church age book. So where'd I go back to? I went back to the church age book. And I started reading and studying and getting down to thoughts of what he was trying to bring, the one God, the no eternal hells, the doctrinal issues that was covered. And it was probably, 6 or 8 months. I picked up the seal book and I began to read. It had become a brand new book, because now I had a foundation. That church age book was a foundation, because it was the teaching of the doctrines of the Bible. That's why I love it so much. They said, oh, it's got this one. I put it on the internet. Send me a place and show me in the church age book where it's contrary. I put that out on the internet all over the world, so just come on. I ain't being arrogant. I'm just telling the truth. You sit down and listen and read that. It'll have its own answer in there. Brother Branham even talks about in there that the rapture is going to come on the fourth seal. That's in the church age book. Supposed to be written before the seals. Come on, but it's in there. He said it'll come there. See, there was a lot of things added to and taken apart. No, not happening. But get what I'm talking about. I went back to something that I could take as a foundation, that I could follow and understand and read. But then when people started preaching the seals, that became very important to me. God began to deal with me back there in about 79. And I began to study on those things. I began to speak on them. You know, I know that word is the head of the church. What that prophet taught in those seals covers every doctrinal thing. Come on, show me. You want to talk about it? Let's get on it. Marriage and divorce revealed in the seal. If you'll ever read the fifth seal correctly, and you ever see that fifth seal correctly, that Jews that don't even deserve nothing, yet they're given eternal life, you'll see the greatest revelation of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you'll see the opening of the marriage and divorce right out of the seals. So the rapture was revealed in the seals. Each one of those preached way after. But yet it was revealed. I remember the first time that I struck across, because I'd read it, studied it, but I was trying to figure out, where is he getting this from? And got onto the first seal there, and as I began to read it, the prophet said, made a statement, and I was working on a job that required over 40 seconds out of every minute for me to complete my job. I ain't kidding you. It took over. Tony's been there. Some of these know it. Brother Collie, some of them have been here. They'd know about it. It's fast, wasn't it, Tony? You didn't play around. 40 seconds, and I had to get ready for the next job coming. And I was reading the seal book. I'd turn around and I'd read. All at once, it'd come off that pages. He said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. He said, and out there, about 155, somewhere right in the seal book, he said, out there goes the white horse rider. Side by, that's the Antichrist. I shouted glory for 20 seconds till I got ready to the next job. You see, that stuck with me. That first seal opened right there to show you, have you ever seen the Antichrist ride away from you? If you hadn't, you got troubles. You're still tied up with him. But see, then each seal, as it begins to open, it just opens more of God's Word, more of God's Word, more of God's Word. You think something when I struck that fifth seal and seeing that God would give eternal life to a group of people that hated him? Didn't want it. That was a glorious time. Sixth seal, seeing tribulation. But knowing it wasn't talking about tribulation for me and you, because the tribulation we need is the one that makes work of patience. See, then I come up to it, and I'm telling the truth just as much as I can tell it. I come up to the seventh seal. And I read that seventh seal, and I stood against a blank wall and couldn't understand. I backed up, laid the seal book down again. Because when the prophet said the seventh seal is the end of all things, my end was running up against a wall. You remember yours? When you say end, it means the end. It means all of it. No. And I knew there was something wrong with my understanding. So I laid the seal book down again. Picked it back up. Started reading. And I took the dictionary. And I looked up the word END. You ever done that? Have you ever just opened up a dictionary and look up END? I'd invite you to go home and try it. But don't try it with end like it means nothing else. End just means that something is coming to a position that it can start and unfold itself. When that prophet saw them seals that come up to there, and it just unfolded and just kept going on. See, when I studied about it in 1982 and preached on the seals, it didn't stop. I kept on preaching. Why? Because it had unveiled. The word end doesn't mean falling off a cliff or running up against a wall. The Bible says Christ is what? The end of all things to them that believe. Well, you know what? If it ends like you're thinking, you got a problem. But if it ends in the basis that it unfolds to another step, and that's what happened in the seals, it unfolded to another step. And then when the prophet said, I'm not saying he's coming. He said, I'm saying he's here. Well, he might have been the only one in the world could say it, but he meant it. And it was true. Now go home and look up the word come. You ever looked up the word come? Just look up the word come when you get home. The word come doesn't mean that I'm saying to Mother Ray there, won't you come to my house? That's not the word come. Listen to what your prophet said. He said it's the end of all things. It's the coming of the Lord. What was it? The word come. Look it up and study it and see what you're talking about. It literally means an embracing of a point to where two things have become one. It literally means a husband and wife as they're embracing to each other. They have become one. That's what the word come means. But yet we're looking for it as the word come. Like, the Lord's coming. The prophet said he ain't coming. He said he's here. But when he said that and I saw that, I ain't never taught it since then that he's coming. I ain't looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking at the coming of the Lord. I see him in his word. I see him unveil himself. He's here. He ain't somewhere else. What do you need of God up in heaven? I want one that can help me. You see, that's why I said, when I saw that, then I had no more concern of what the headstone was. But then I went back and could study it from Zechariah. And Zechariah says that this Zerubbabel will bring forth the headstone. To me, that's Malachi 4. Right? But you see, we're looking for the coming of the Lord. Looking to hear the other day was talking about him. Looking for the rapture. I quit looking for the rapture a long time ago. Because I read my Bible. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, I'm looking for the resurrection. Then the alive and remain. Then the change. What is the resurrection? The prophet said your resurrection is inside of you in your spirit. See, there's where we go with it, though. Oh, we got smart. We got in the spirit. Come on, you better study on that a little bit. That resurrection is not in your spirit of five senses. That won't work. That'll kill you. It's in your spirit realm of the soul of mankind. It's dwelling within you. No divine healing. No resurrection. That's what your prophet said. No divine healing. No resurrection. But yet we're ready for the rapture. Well, I can just hear it. People just say, oh, we were there and we got caught up into it. So we were stepping into this ecstasy till I thought the Lord was just going to drop out of the sky. I hope it happens that way. But that ain't what I'm looking for. You know what I'm looking for in the coming of the Lord? And I'll get on and finish it up. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to come and seal in each one of us into the body of Christ with those virtues dwelling within us. Listen, I was thinking today about it. See, we talk about faith, virtue, and honor. We're not talking about love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness. Right? That's the virtues. See? But it's love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness. See, it's the Bible. Come on, church. What did he say? That was number one, coming to you. Your mental faith, right there, right here, comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith. Now, where's the mental faith? Down at the bottom. Making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith can only recognize the Word of God. And number two, three, then you'll have spiritual faith. You'll have the Holy Spirit. And will seal all these things into you. The Holy Spirit covers this from your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ. He's just sealing down at the bottom. He's sealing the top. He's sealing up and down. Oh, that's what it is, church. It's the Holy Ghost. See, it's just been so miscorrectly taught to people don't understand what it's about. What is the Holy Ghost? The life of Jesus Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. That's the head of all things. I'm just trying to bring it to a close. Think on these things. From my faith all the way up to the headstone, I want to be sealed in. And that's requiring that I study the Word of God. But just remember, it's not reading the Word. See, when God speaks to you personally, there's where you got something that's anchored. When He speaks to you personally about something, shows you something personally to you, that's Christ. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What about it, you and I? What about our faith? Where's our faith? Where's it anchored in? That's why they can say what they want to. That's what I've told you. They can say what they want to about Brother Branham. I don't care. I do care for their part. I'm sorry for them. But I don't care what to say. The man led me to Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Then I'm not putting all of my hopes just on, well, Brother Branham was a prophet. No. You got your hopes in your own resurrection that's inside of you. Huh? Something personal. Something you can talk to. And you can talk back. Well, Brother Dale, you mean God talks to you? Yeah. Through the opening of the Word, He talks to me. Audible voices? That's all right. I've heard voices. Sure. Like I told you when I left that Baptist church. And then when I went back by there years later, I said, Lord, I left that church and you there. Well, whether it was audible, whether it, what it was, or my own thinking, something said, when you left, I left with you. Well, I believe it. I believe it. Because it's always been that growth development, right straight toward that one that I saw when I was 11 years old. What about it? Come on, musician. Think on these things. I hope you'll take it on into adoption and thoughts and get it to the basis of understanding, you know, of what this message is really is, because it's so wonderful to come forth and to declare unto you and I that God is real. He's alive. He's waiting on me and you. Adoption time is what your prophet said. Said when He can pour in His fullness in the baptism. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. I want more of the Holy Ghost. The book of Acts, read it. They had many fillings. They had one new birth, but they had many fillings. Every time they'd gather, the Holy Spirit would be there and just flood them. That's what I want. That's what I want. What we got, brother?
Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now blind, but now I see.
Her legs are swelling and things, and let's just pray that God will take care of it. Get rid of these things. Let everything be right. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth for this swelling in our sister's legs and things. We condemn it through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
I would also like to give praise. The Lord has lifted some of that fog that she's been in.
Amen. Okay. She wants to tell you too that God has lifted off of our sister that violent part of her that was causing a lot of problems. Right. He's God. He'll make it right.
That grace appear. The eye I first believe.
Take that and put it where you want it. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we send this prayer cloth. This little one has got a concern in her heart. So now you go and you make all way on. We believe you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
His grace hath brought me to Jesus far, and grace will lead me home. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. 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 Praise God, praise God.
We take care of all the problems. In love in you, Lord, and thanking you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. When we bend the 10,000 years, bright shining. Say something.
Go ahead.
To Sister Julie, when you go home, lay your hands on your mother's ankles and pray. My mother was sick. Everybody knows the story. This is how I know God is real. I laid my hands on her ankles. And we prayed and watched those ankles go back to normal.
Amen.
Just watching, reduce them from swelling to normal. And I just tell you, just pray and believe. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anything?
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise. Then when we first begun.
Amen. We didn't get to have the communion and foot washing this past weekend, so we'll be, Lord willing, be having it Sunday. So just remember that and pray. Anybody anything to say before we go? Father, we thank you. We just ask you to be with us tonight, Lord. We tried to pour out our heart in the right way. You forgive us when we don't. Lead us by thy love. Lord, let your light shine into our hearts that we may see you and follow in your footsteps. Remember all these that are sick among us. Reach down and touch each one. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
How free.